From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown.
This is what democracy looks like.
Congressman Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania is the Democratic nominee for Senate there. That means longtime Senator Arlen Specter is out after switching from Republican to Democrat in hopes of securing a sixth term. NPR's Don Gagne reports on one of the primary races reflecting an anti-incumbent mood.
Senator Specter was choked with emotion as he addressed a room full of somber supporters in downtown Philadelphia.
It's been a great privilege to be in the United States Senate.
This was Specter's first time seeking re-election as a Democrat. Congressman Sestak made the party switch a main focus of his campaign, running TV spots featuring archival footage of President Bush praising Specter and calling him an ally. In this race, Specter lost despite high-profile endorsements from President Obama and Governor Ed Rendell. Sestak will now face Republican Pat Toomey in the general election in the fall. Don Gagne, NPR News, Philadelphia.
Voters are keeping Arkansas Democratic Senator Blanche Lincoln's re-election campaign alive. She's survived a three-way primary, but she'll have to face Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter in a runoff. Lincoln says the fight's nowhere near over.
They thought they could write us off. Well, guess what? They got another thing coming. They got another thing coming.
Meanwhile, Kentucky Republican Rand Paul rides the anti-establishment wave to victory in the Senate primary there, a successful test for him and his backers of Tea Party strength. One district where anti-establishment feelings have not prevailed, that of the late Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman John Murtha. One of his aides, Mark Kritz, is the winner of a special election, but he will have to face the man he beat, Republican Tim Burns, once again in November. A brazen pre-dawn Taliban attack on the big U.S.-run Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan today. At least seven insurgents are dead and seven U.S. service members are wounded. Here's the BBC's Mark Dummett in Kabul.
It's not entirely clear how many launched this pretty audacious attack this morning. The Taliban said that they'd sent 20 men against Bagram. One of them blew himself up, having been cornered by the Afghan police. But basically, the main assault on the base was launched in the early hours of the morning, and it was very quickly repelled. I mean, they had absolutely zero chance of getting inside Bagram, which is extremely heavily defended.
And that's the BBC's Mark Dummett in Kabul, Afghanistan. Thailand's government is declaring a curfew in the capital, Bangkok, as rioting and violence continue. The curfew is declared even after red shirt protest leaders say that they will surrender. But protesters have continued to set fires around the capital. This is NPR News. Louisiana officials say the spreading oil slick in the Gulf of Mexico from the BP well rupture has come to Plaquemines Parish at the edge of the state's marshes. NPR's Jamie Tarabay is in Louisiana. She says the local and state governments and people in the fishing industry are becoming more and more concerned.
Both Governor Bobby Jindal and Parish President Billy Nungesser said they flew over the oil spill and saw brown streaks of oil in the Pas Alutra area. Louisiana's seafood industry depends on the marshes. Nungesser said an influx of oil could ruin local businesses. BP says it's trying to stem the flow of oil to water shorelines along the Gulf, but the spill has now spread to a more than 25-mile radius. The company is also using chemical dispersants to break up large tracts of oil. So far, a small pipeline is helping bring some of the oil onto a waiting ship. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News, in Venice, Louisiana.
South Korea says now that it has enough evidence to blame North Korea for the explosion that sank a South Korean Navy ship in March, killing 46 sailors. North Korea says it had nothing at all to do with the incident. South Korea's foreign minister now says he wants the UN Security Council to become involved. Tobacco farmers are more nervous than ever about their future as they watch smoking decline in the U.S. and see their contracts with major cigarette companies shrivel or even disappear. The big companies acknowledge they're cutting back, but they won't say exactly how much. A University of Kentucky economist says that his state, which is the top tobacco producer in the U.S., could lose a quarter of its contracts this year. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.